Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome again to the Wings Radio program, where we hope you will be uplifted and motivated by what you hear tonight. If you would like to join other listeners in the live chat room, go to www.wingsofprophecy.com and click on the live chat tab. Now here's your host, Glenda Lankus.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Wings Radio broadcast. Today, we're going to talk some more about soul ties. We've been talking about soul ties, and we're going to talk a little more about them, and then we are going to say a prayer to break them for the people who need to break them off of their lives. As we discussed, the soul tie is a knitting together of souls that influences our mind, our will, and our emotions. It's a good thing if it's godly. It's a bad thing if it's not. If it's not a godly soul tie, it just brings a sort of bondage. It just holds you to somebody you don't want to be held to. If you have a soul tie with someone who's very abusive, that soul tie being a conduit where influences and demonic spirits can come and go from them will bring fear and rejection and shame and domination and control through that soul tie to you, and it will make you just really scared to death of that person. I mean, you just dread being around them. You dread having to interact with them. I have experienced that kind of a soul tie. It is so not fun. And another type of bad soul tie is if someone does something bad to us or something unkind to us and we have sort of a grudge against them or we have resentment against them, every time we think of that person, those negative emotions will be stirred up. And what happens is that dislike, resentment, anger, and even hatred can go back and forth through the soul tie and disturb both people. We don't want that either. And one of the ways that we can develop bad soul ties is, one, if we get involved in ungodly relationships. If you get involved in relationships with people who are not God-centered people, there's a much greater chance you will develop a bad soul tie. And I'm speaking mainly to single people right now. If you're single, you're dating, you're looking for a godly mate, it's real easy to get involved with someone who seems to be one thing and turns out to be completely different. As we know, Satan can walk around in sheep's clothing, so watch out, because I've seen that happen with my own eyes, and it is scary when it does. We need to be very careful in all our relationships, whether romantic or otherwise, that we follow God's ways and His commandments, and we do things the way He wants them done. Because it is when we violate these ways of God, when we violate His commandments, when we violate those boundaries, that is when evil spirits are allowed access to us. Okay? Anytime you violate a boundary that you should not have violated, you yoke yourself together with someone who is evil, and you're not evil. Just say you yoke yourself together with someone who's an atheist and you know you're a believer and you just think, oh, well, after we get married, they'll probably get saved. No, they won't. They're more likely to drag you down than for you to lift them up. I'll tell you something about atheists, y'all. They're pretty committed. I was an atheist once, and you can get pretty passionate about not believing in God. And it makes no sense to be that passionate about something you don't even believe exists. But it's very common. And there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about the heathen raging. And I believe that that is what it's talking about. It's talking about the atheist. And Jerry was also an atheist. He was actually an atheist that argued with Christians. I didn't argue with them. I just wouldn't have anything to do with them. And Jerry is going to work on an ebook called Arguing with an Atheist to share with anyone who wants to be able to argue with an atheist, because he's found the truth now. And he knows what the answers are to all those questions that he posed before and the reasons why he didn't believe. Okay, before we go any further, let's reiterate the symptoms of a soul tie. I think the example I used in the show before was, let's say that 2 or 3 years ago you were involved with somebody, but now you're longing for them again. You're having constant thoughts about them, or you're dreaming about them or something like that. That is a sign that a soul tie is still in place, okay? Especially if you're real nostalgic about it, or if you have a very deep longing and desire for them. Every physically intimate relationship creates a soul tie. Whether you want it to or not, it creates one. Anytime you fantasize over pornography or a picture of a person or whatever, that creates a soul tie with that person. Okay? Doesn't matter if you want it to or not, it creates a soul tie with that person. You do not have to be joined to someone physically to create a soul tie. The Lord taught me many years ago that demonic images are attached to pictures, like photographs of people. They are attached. We don't even want to think about how many might be attached to pornography, do we? And we know that you join with them because the Lord said, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Now, if you commit adultery, the two become one. Okay? This is serious, y'all. We have to take it seriously. Pornography is not as big of a problem for women, but there are women who are bound in it, but it is a huge problem among much of the male population. And 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, "The one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him." If you are one spirit with the Lord, you do not want to go and turn around and join yourself with a harlot through pornography, do you? Because God's Spirit's right there. It's right there with you. Think about that. Okay, so soul ties are a knitting together of souls that influences our mind, will, and emotions. If they're good, if they're God-centered or God's will, they're a good thing. And if they're not godly or not God-centered, or they're outside of God's will, any relationship outside your marriage, that sort of thing, then it's a bad thing. And we need to get out of it. Now, there are many ways that you can create a soul tie. Anytime you have any type of physical intimacy with a person, whether that person is present in body or only in your mind, that creates a soul tie. Okay? All sexual experiences create soul ties. Okay, vows create soul ties. For example, Freemasonry is known for its ritualistic vows when people join, the oaths that they take. Okay, those create a very large soul tie that tie you to some stuff you do not want to be tied to. Okay, any close friendship creates a soul tie. Close friendships are generally good soul ties. People that we fellowship with in church that we get close to, those are generally good soul ties. Now, you can get soul ties with spiritual leaders, and if they're good leaders, that's a good thing. But if they're bad leaders, they're way off track or something, then it's a bad thing. I want you to understand how soul ties are created so you're aware. And the other thing to be aware of, and I think I mentioned this on the last show, if suddenly you start manifesting desires, addictions, or symptoms you never had before, all of a sudden, something weird starts happening, something you have to battle that you never had to battle before, look back and see if you formed a new soul tie with someone, because it could be something coming through a soul tie from them that's accessing you. And in that case, all you have to do to get rid of it is generally sever that soul tie. You know, sometimes you have that feeling that so-and-so is happening to another person. A lot of times that's a soul tie. And remember in 2 Kings 5:26, where I believe it was Elisha saw what Gehazi went out and did. He went after the people that offered gifts for the curing of the leprosy, and he accepted the gifts, and Elisha didn't want to accept them. So, but his heart went with him, and he saw what he did. And speaking of gifts, okay, let's go back to vows just for a second, then we're going to talk about gifts. Vows in romantic relationships. Oh, I will never leave you. I will always love you. I can never love anyone else. That's probably one of the worst ones. I can never love anybody but you. And then all of a sudden, you're broken up with that person, and a year later, 2 years later, 5 years later, you can't love anybody else. Could it be that it's because of that soul tie? We need to be sure we sever these things, because you don't want to go into a godly relationship with the person that God has for you and have a bunch of soul ties on you. It's like dragging a bunch of luggage in. because it's going to cause you all sorts of problems. And on that note, any time you keep gifts or love letters or jewelry, something like that, from an old lover, that keeps that soul tie in place, okay? Photographs of them, that can all hold the soul tie in place. I read a story of a little girl that had a very bad demonization problem, and she wasn't very old. And the people delivering her did everything that they could to deliver her, and finally they went aside in prayer, and they said, "Lord, you know what's going on." And the Lord said, "It's the ring." And when they went to, the ring was holding a soul tie in place that was allowing those demons to access her, because she was a young child, like, I want to say like 6 years old. I'm not sure I'm reciting this perfectly, but it was in one of the spiritual warfare books that I've read in the past. And when they went to remove the ring, the demons just went nuts, because that was their legal right to the little girl. And when they took the ring off, they were able to break the soul ties, and she was set free immediately. That's how big of a deal these things are. Okay, I had a ring years ago that someone had given me in a romantic relationship, and I'd kept the ring just because I liked the ring, even though I wasn't with the person anymore. And the Lord spoke to me one day, and he said, "There's a soul tie attached to that ring. You need to get rid of it." And I said, "Okay," and I got rid of it. If I were to one day be in Jerry's dresser drawer and find old love letters from women he had been with in the past, the first question that would come to my mind is, why does he feel like he needs these? Does he still love these people? Why does he have these? We need to get rid of that stuff, y'all. When we go into a godly relationship, we don't need that stuff anymore. I go through everything I can find, and I have gotten rid of any jewelry anyone else gave me, any love letters, anything, because I have let go of the past. And all I want is my future with my husband, because he is the one God designed just for me. And that's where your happiness lies, the mate that God has for you. That's where your happiness is. And that's what we want to do, is we want to move into that godly relationship with the one that God has for us and do work for the kingdom. But you can't do well in any relationship if you're always hanging on to the past. Can I just tell you that? And if you're really happy in your present relationship, you won't hold on to the past. I think the bottom line is, God has to be first. In your life, he has got to be first. If you care more about how God feels about things that you're doing or things that you're keeping, you'll do the right thing. He has to be first. And if you truly want to be rid of a soul tie, you truly want to be free, I'm going to tell you how to be free. But if you pray this prayer and you hold on to photographs and, you know, jewelry and gifts they've given you and things like that, you're not going to be free. Can I tell you that? You're not going to be free. And it's going to be your fault because you didn't let go. And I'm telling you all the truth here, okay? I was married for 12 years before, and that husband passed away. We were divorced, but he passed away later. And I had photographs of him, and, you know, I had cards he had given me still and things like that. And when I found them, I got rid of them. I gave the photographs away to my children because, you know, that's their father. But the other stuff, I got rid of it. Does it hurt? Yeah, it did hurt a little at the time, but it's the right thing to do. I have a husband now who loves me dearly, who is God's choice for me. And that's the one I'm supposed to be faithful to and will be faithful to and loyal to in everything, even down to the keepsakes I keep or don't keep. So think about that, because another thing is those holding on to those artifacts and grieving over a lost relationship, grieving over a lost marriage. Oh, that makes me remember a woman I knew years ago in my 30s. Her and her husband had had a bad marriage, but they were split up. He had moved on. She didn't. And she constantly grieved over him. She would try to go out and have a good time, but she was constantly grieving over him. And it went on way, way too long. And what happened was she did not release that to the Lord, and a spirit of grief entered. And that spirit of grief will eat your lunch and pop the bag. It will make you grieve and mourn and be miserable. Can I just tell you that? You will be miserable because you can't stop thinking about that person and you can't get rid of that sad, grief-stricken feeling. Okay? We have to do our part to let go, all right? And I know it's not easy, y'all. I've had to do it too. I know it's not easy, but it's still the right thing to do. The Bible talks very specifically in the Old Testament about periods of mourning and things like that. In the old days, they had a certain period where they mourned, and then they moved on. Didn't mean they weren't sad, didn't mean they didn't still miss the person, but they did it because you have to get on with your life, okay? You have to get on with your life. And the person who's passed on or that you've lost, if they want you to be happy, they certainly would not want you grieving for them like that. Okay, so what I did when I first started studying soul ties is I made like a list of all the people I thought I had soul ties with and any that I thought there might even be a possibility. I got rid of all the articles and I began to break the soul ties one by one, and I experienced a tremendous amount of freedom. And any time I find one now, I'll get rid of it in a heartbeat. But I haven't had any more trouble with them since I did that just kind of mass house cleaning. Think about any vows or promises that you made. Think about anyone that you have been intimate with. Think about anyone that you have fantasized over. Okay, that's a long list by itself. Anyone that you think of often or long for, that sort of thing, needs to go on that list if you want to cut that tie. Okay? And Jesus paid a heavy price, y'all, for our freedom, to remove the yoke of bondage from off our necks. He wants us to be free. He wants us to enjoy our life while we're on earth doing His work and doing His will. So in order to do that, we need to be free. So let's pray a prayer. Our precious Lord God in heaven, Jesus of Nazareth, our Savior. Father, I come to you today to renounce and repent of every ungodly soul tie in my life. I know there have been times, Lord, that I have wrongfully allowed ungodly soul ties to be made in my life, and I repent of those, and I renounce every one of those ties right now. I pray, Father, that you would show me any others that need to be broken and show me specifically how to break them. And if I have in my possession or I am doing anything to prevent them from being completely severed, I ask to be set free, but I ask that you would reveal that to me, Lord. Because as humans, we don't always realize when we're doing something that's causing our own bondage. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, my Lord and Savior, I break every soul tie that is ungodly in my life. Any ungodly soul tie from anywhere in my past or my present that is ungodly, I break you now. I command you to be broken in the name of Jesus. I cancel every demonic assignment that has come at me through those soul ties, and I command you to be broken off and to fall to the ground and become as nothing in Jesus' name. I command every demonic entity that has accessed me through ungodly soul ties or that is included in those assignments, I command you to return to your master, the devil, right now in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that your healing power, you would reach down and you would heal any damage, anything that has been broken in me from these soul ties. I pray that you would restore me, Lord God, back to wholeness. I plead the precious blood of Jesus over me, Lord God. I pray that you would help me to renew my mind in your word. I desire to be free, Lord, to serve only you. And I pray that you would help me with that. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. And now I'd like to share with you a beautiful song sung by my friend Beverly Baker of Elk City, Oklahoma, called Jesus Rescues Me. It's always Jesus who rescues us, and anything we need, all we have to do is look to the cross. It's already been done.
What's the news for today? a miracle. Well, my Jesus hears your every cry. He sees the walls that you can't climb, and he will heal your hurting soul and lead you safely to
Praise the Lord. What a beautiful song sung by Beverly Baker of Elk City, Oklahoma. She used to sing at the First Assembly of God there, and now she and her husband have their own church, and I can't remember the name of it right now. They just started it not long ago. Truly anointed for worship. She is a very, very nice person, too. Well, I hope that this broadcast has been a blessing to you. I'd love to hear from you if it has. And by the way, those of you who write in, and when I write back to you and you fill out the prayer request cards, I want you to know that every morning I spend time in the Word, and then I pray over my whole prayer list, and then I pray over all of your prayer requests one at a time, going through your prayer request of what you ask me to pray for. So they do actually get prayed for, and sometimes I'll pick them up during the day and pray for them again. But I just wanted to let you know that you're not wasting your time when you fill those out. So if you write in and I write back to you and you get a prayer request card, or you write in with a prayer request, your prayer request will be prayed for. Just wanted to let you know that. And to thank you for listening. We hope that you will be blessed by each broadcast and that you will like us enough to tune in every week at the same time in the same station and hear us again. So God bless you. Have a great week in Jesus. Bye for now.
Thank you so much for tuning in to hear Glenda Linkous on Wings Radio tonight. We hope that you have been encouraged and inspired in your daily walk with Christ. You can find more of Glenda's talks on her YouTube channel, Texas Author and the Number One. You can contact Glenda by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com. Or by mail at Glenda Linkous, P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas, 75407. Wings Radio is a non-denominational program and is not affiliated with any church or nonprofit organization.
There's a new book revealing a mysterious 2,500-year-old prophecy. Its title, America, Isaiah is Warning, God's Judgment is Coming. Only now, after all of those years, do His words make sense. They're only directed to this generation, those living in its fulfillment. You will learn what egregious act America continually committed, despite 21 years of repeated warnings our leaders ignored, when the judgment will likely happen and why God has the whole world watching, the horrific events to follow in the secret place of protection for some. Finally, the selected remnant that go into Jesus' millennium kingdom are identified. It's all in America, Isaiah's Warning, God's Judgment is Coming. Find out more and order it now at americasjudgment.com. That's americasjudgment.com. America's Judgment is one word. Type americasjudgment.com into your favorite internet browser.
Have you ever gone through a period in your life where it felt like someone just yanked the rug out from under you? Or you woke up one day and it felt like your life was just falling apart? Every Christian must pass through the desert on the way to their promised land. This is what I call the wilderness experience. Wilderness experiences are often times of great uncertainty and change. They are also times of great discomfort, where you feel the heat and the pressure are on, and everywhere you turn, it seems like there's no place to run for comfort. The Lord took me in and out of a number of wilderness experiences, and then He had me write a book called The Wilderness Companion. And what it is a roadmap through these desert times in your life. It's kind of a how-to do and don't manual of what He taught me and things He spoke to me during the wilderness times that I went through. Sometimes wilderness times are times of physical challenge where you're ill. Sometimes they are financial challenges. Many of the ones I went through were financial challenges where I had no work and no money. Or times when God just took me out of work and put me in a place where, you know, I couldn't find a job or whatever. But the Wilderness Companion will help you if you are in a wilderness time, or if you want to read the book for in preparations for the next time, to find out why you've been led into the wilderness, find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving the provisions you need in the wilderness, because very often wilderness times are times of a lack of provision. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Now, these were revealed to me straight from God. And drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by teaching you how to partner with God for His purposes for you in the desert seasons. This is a book you don't want to miss. The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax is available on Amazon.com or in the Wings of Prophecy bookstore in print form or Kindle version, www.wingsofprophecy.com.